What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
Sometimes people get a therapist, it's not a good fit, they don't use the modalities that really work for them, and they quit. And I thought, you know what, I have to create this space and create this practice where people come, they get what they need.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. I am super excited. We are here for Wellness Season 9. I know it's been a long time coming, but we are here and we are excited. And we have another guest with us. Her name is Natalie Thomas. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you so much for being here. We are so excited to get started with the conversation. As you guys know, we do not have interviews. Instead, we have genuine conversations. So let's get to it. We usually start off with every episode with an icebreaker. Are you ready for your icebreaker?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So what's your go-to way to reset after a long day of helping others?
Yes. So before I answer, first, I want to thank you for focusing on wellness this season. We need it so badly as women and various communities. So thank you for that. But my go-to is I just unplug. So I may not even have that long to unplug, depending on how long my day is, but I make sure I get at least 30 minutes where I cut off the phones, the ringers, the TV, and just sit, and sometimes doing nothing, sometimes deep breathing, but just sitting to unplug. Sometimes I may have to dial it back to 15 minutes, but I always make sure I just unplug, period, because we can keep going and going, but we need that time, no matter how limited it can be sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's get started with our genuine conversation. We always start off with who is the guest? So for you, who is Natalie Thomas?
So Natalie is a former educator, mental health. I call myself an expert because I love all things mental health and just varied background. I'm from Dallas, went to college in Baltimore. It was freezing cold. I left there. So I attended Morgan State, HBCU. I left there and said, nope, I love the East Coast, but got to dial it back. So I actually went to grad school in North Carolina, loved it, but ended up coming back home to Texas to teach. And I started out as a teacher and moved over, did that for 3 years, moved over to school counseling. I was a school counselor for 18 years, but still very involved in mental health with my church and other churches and other organizations. So mental health has always really intrigued me. I am very grateful to have had a mom that always looked into mental health. So back in the 80s and 90s, we watched her go to counseling. We watched her bring home these self-help books. And so even at a young age, and even in that time, right, because the 80s, people's mothers were not bringing home self-help books, right?
Right.
So I am very grateful. That is one thing that she always emphasized was how you can be better and that you don't have to do it yourself. And so we will sometimes try to figure it out. We'll talk to our friends about it and we never reach out for help. We never reach out for tools. We never reach out for strategies. We just have conversations about it. And I just saw that. And that was just something that really inspired me. I saw her grow. I saw the benefits of growth in my home. And she was a single mom. So I'm watching her, right? Just grow and be better. And So my master's is in school counseling during the pandemic. So I did 18 years as a school counselor, but during the pandemic, It was super stressful. And I said, oh, I have to pivot. And I thought, at my big age, can I really be pivoting out here? I've, you know, been in my career over 2 decades. And yes, I'm, you know, a school counselor. I'm involved in the community doing mental health. Like, is this something I should do? But I went back to school, took the classes, did the internship to get my licensure, and said, you know what, I'm going to open up my own practice. Because what I kept running into in my internship were clients who were saying, I really enjoy what you're doing, but I was people's second or third therapist. And I'm just grateful that they hadn't given up, that they knew what they needed and they kept coming. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes people get a therapist, it's not a good fit. It's they don't use the modalities that really work for them and they quit. And I thought, you know what, I have to like create this space and create this practice where people come, they get what they need. And so we use solution-focused brief therapy, which is very different from most modalities. Most modalities, you sit, you talk, and that's it. But we do, like, we find, okay, what's your concern and how do we fix it? We're very much problem solvers. And so that's just how my brain has always worked. So when I, if I had to sum myself up, when you say, who is Natalie Thomas, as much as I love mental health, I've always been a problem solver. And so that's, I've taken that also into my work as a mental health professional.
I love that. And I do want to tap into it because like you mentioned, we talk with our friends all day, every day.
All day.
And we vent. But where's the solution? How are we going to make this situation better? Because if anything, they're probably, you know, hyping you up.
Yeah. Right. They say birds of a feather flock together. We know that's true. Right. So however I'm feeling and whatever I'm thinking, they're echoing that and clapping me up and patting me on the back. Right. And no. Mm-hmm. And then we still don't have a solution at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So I want to tap into the problem solving portion of it, because like you mentioned, it's a difference because the conversation piece needs to happen. But also, what are we going to do as far as the growth portion of mm-hmm. it? So when did you realize after speaking to those people and realizing, okay, no, we need some action to be implemented after we leave this conversation from each other?
Yeah. So it was funny. I really kept hearing it. And I thought, because they kept saying, this is real different. This is like the way you approach things is very different. And I kept thinking, I've always done this. And so what's the difference? But I realized that they're as challenging as being a school counselor had gotten, that I needed to pivot. The blessing was I've always had to be in that space. So when a kid comes in, we don't have 12 weeks, 14 weeks, 18 weeks. We have 45 minutes, an hour, because they got to get back to class. So when they come in, I'm like, okay, you didn't come in here because you were feeling good. You came in here because you're angry. You came in here because you're grieving. You came in here because, right, a lot of times, especially with youth nowadays, suicidal ideations are very high. And suicide is the second leading cause of death for teens at this point. So that was coming into my office a lot. So when the kid is sitting there and they're like, I want to underline, you don't have 12 weeks, right? You have to help that child right then. And so when I started to work with adults, I took that same mindset and that same just rhythm into those sessions. And I had no idea it was even different, honestly, because that's what I've always done. I always, right, for 18 years had 30 to 60 minutes to get this right. That doesn't mean that was the only time I saw that child. They may come back the next week. And yes, I may have some more time with them. But that day in that moment, that problem had to be solved or at least look like they could see a bright star to get to a solution. And mm-hmm. so I had no idea that the way I worked was any different until people kept saying it. And I thought, there's something to this. So let me explore. And that's when I realized, oh, this is a whole problem solving thing that I'm doing that isn't obviously very common.
I love that. So let's say for someone that's coming to see you, right? They know they feel heavy. They know that something is wrong, but they don't know quite what's wrong. How do you help them with finding out what's happening to find a solution. Because a lot of times, like, we don't sit with ourselves. We don't know. We just on autopilot. So we know we're heavy, but what is this feeling that I'm going through?
Yeah. Ironically, that's my latest client. She came to about 6 weeks ago, and she just graduated from high school. And she said, I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong. And I'm here because I need you to help me figure it out before I go to college. Because these youth are, they are tapped in. Okay. Like, I love these babies. They know something ain't right. So she's like, so help me. And so that's what we've been doing the last 6 weeks. We look at our core beliefs. We have normalized our core beliefs because that's what our family has done. That's what our friends are doing. That's what our neighborhoods and communities are doing. We don't even know sometimes that there's another way or even right other things that we could be doing in our situation to make it better. So we look at core beliefs. We look at our values. Sometimes, once again, it's exposure. We just don't even know that, oh, there's other ways that I could value things. And so we just kind of do a deep dive. We look into the past, right? What has happened to you? The things that happened in our past definitely show up in our present. There's no way we can run from it. So we do all the things and we do a full deep dive. I give homework. They always hate it initially, but then they come back in the session and say, you know what? That really helped me because I realized this and this. So some of it is them coming to the realization on their own. And I'm just the guide to help them through that exploration. We don't, as therapists, we don't give advice, but I definitely hold their hand and say, hey, let's get through it. Let's explore. Let's take these opportunities to really look at the past, where you are now, so that the future can be transformed into something super great. So it's funny. I don't, of course, in therapy, it's confidential. So if I have teenage clients, I can't share what we talk about. But I do call their parents to say, are you seeing anything different? Are you seeing anything concerning? You know, let me know. And so it's funny when I talk to the parent, she's like, oh my gosh, I love what's going on right now. So I get the feedback from the parents because sometimes we're so hard on ourselves. So I can't always ask a teen client because right? They're so hard on themselves. But I love to also hear from the parents in that case. But with adults, we're very well aware because our friends will tell us you're changing or something's different or you're not as, you know, irritable anymore. You're much easier to get along with right now, you know. And so we start to see just our personalities changing a little bit. Just our habits changing. Sometimes they're not as toxic. Sometimes people do self-medicate. And so maybe my client isn't drinking wine every night. You know, maybe they are taking some different strategies and skills. And so I just love to see them transformed. But yeah, I love it.
That's so good. I do want to ask, let me know if I'm reaching a little bit. What is, during that self-discovery, self-reflection, what is one question that you do ask those clients, or even if it's a part of the homework for them to like really deep dive and really sit there and discuss those items with themselves?
Yeah. So I'll say, especially for the core beliefs, because that's where a lot of our hidden toxic triggers are. I actually have a page that, because I'm virtual. So I work throughout Texas with clients. And so I'll pull up a page that just has different core beliefs on there. It's totally Googleable. And we'll walk through it and say, hey, do you see any of these? You know, do any of these resonate with you? And so from there, I'm able to guide them into really exploring it. But they identify it on their own. So I pull up all the core beliefs. They identify, and then we go from there.
Very nice.
That's just one.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
So there's a therapy modality called Adlerian, and that's actually part of his therapy modality, is that we need to look at our core beliefs. We need to see what, and it's really the self-talk that we've been doing for ourselves. And so, for instance, one of them may be, you know, I'm unattractive. Well, that could be one of them. Well, that, however, that does affect how you show up. I'm not as friendly to people. I'm not as outgoing because my self-talk is going to get in the way. And so we look at those core beliefs. Like I said, people can Google, find out what those core beliefs are, but it's part of the Adlerian therapy modality.
That is very nice. So once we get to those core beliefs, how do we constantly remind ourselves, like, we got to stop doing the self-negative talk? I know that this is to be true, that I am beautiful, that I am worthy, I am these things. How do we make sure that we are encouraging ourselves now that we found what our core beliefs are? Now we're reminding ourselves about this.
Yeah, and that is exactly what we work through during our sessions. And it is totally getting rid of those. The challenge is most people don't know how. Right. We can sit in a space and someone can tell us I'm beautiful for a year. But if our core belief, if we don't believe that and our self-talk is talking us out of that every day, we go back into the spiral and spiral down back into the ditch. Right. And so some people, even once we realize where they are and what their core belief is, that's when I really do have to spend time getting them out because they don't even know how to get out of that space. Self-talk, you know, I tell everyone it can make you or break you. And so we know people who are super successful because they are pumping themselves up all day. And we know people who are brilliant and amazing and not as successful because they've talked themselves out of the game.
That makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about people on the outside. They seem so put together, right? But internally, they have some things that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And so how do you, or what challenges do you see that's pretty common in helping them break down those barriers? Like, there's some things that we need to talk about.
Yeah. And once again, it's always for me a problem solving. So sometimes it's just asking them, you know, what is keeping you up at night? Because they may be put together on the outside, but there's some things that are really bothering them. There's some things that they know aren't right. And sometimes as adults, they're able to identify, you know, like I said, my 18-year-old came to me like, something's wrong. I don't know, but she's younger. But as an adult, we know, we may not know the full, you know, scope of it, but we know, oh, my family, you know, continues to really stress me out. So then I know, okay, let's work on this family situation. Let's explore the family situation because work may be fine. And, you know, their extracurricular life may be fine, but everybody can generally identify that one area that is really keeping them up at night.
That's good. That's good. Okay. And so my last question when it comes to our genuine conversation today is when it comes to high achievers. From the high achievers, we're doing all the things. We want perfectionism. We want to make sure everything is done right. How do you help them in breaking that barrier to say, it's okay to get 80%? I was talking to somebody and they was like, 80% is okay. That's the only reason why I said 80%. But when they said 80% is okay, and I was like, you know what? You are right. Because in school, that was passing a B.
That was good, though. That was real passing.
Right. And so when she said that, that really resonated with me because I am somebody, of course, like, especially with me helping out clients, with me doing the things to make sure that we get the results because you're paying me for results. So I need to make sure that we do the best that we can and get those results for you. How should we take that in? Even, you know, high school, kids have to worry about this soon. And also as grownups, we have to worry about this as well. What does it look like to walk away from that perfect mindset to say, today, I'm okay with 80%. I've showed up. I did what I could. I'm not going to spend another 5 hours to 10 hours on the same thing all day, every day. What I have is enough for me to just submit and move on.
Yeah. So I call myself a perfectionist in recovery. Mm-hmm. And in our counseling programs, we have to go to therapy. And so I went in thinking, oh, I'm good, you know, because once again, I grew up in a home where my mom always, hey, read this book, read, I listen to podcasts, you know, I'm a believer. I do a lot of prayer, like, Lord, show me these things. And so I honestly went in thinking, okay, I'm good, you know. And the first thing my therapist said was, but you're a perfectionist. And I thought, no, I'm not. He's like, yeah, you're a control freak. Because perfectionists are control freaks. And I thought, no, that's not me. Like, I don't know who you're talking about. And as we continue to work together, I was like, whoa, I'm really a perfectionist. And I realized how stressed I was. Like, I was able to pinpoint the health effects that it was giving me. I was able to pinpoint the anxiety that it was bringing to me. I wouldn't have called it anxiety because I had normalized it. But I totally had anxiety. Like you said, I'm like, what is my product? What are people going to think? Am I delivering? You know, that's anxiety, right? But we've normalized it so much that we're like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I don't have any problems. And so now I am able to see it in my clients. Even I have some who come to me for things totally unrelated. We will work through that. And then I will bring it up and say, I know we've resolved your concern, but I have a concern. And if you want to work through it, we can. And I will say, you know, you're a perfectionist. And 9 times out of 10, they're exactly like I was. No, I'm not. And I'll say, tell me about your health. Because they didn't come to me for that. So I don't bring it up. We solve the problem that they've come for. But if I see it, I know the effects of it. I know how hard it can be on our bodies, on our minds, and even on our lifestyle. Because there's a whole different lifestyle from someone who's a perfectionist. There's a lot of, you know. So even with sleep, you know, I mean, because we're up like, no, I got to deliver this product. And so the effects of it, and I will bring it up once we're done with what they wanted. And it definitely is a journey to get out of that rut, because once again, we've talked ourselves for many years into the space that has created these issues that we're not even aware are issues. But not only that, we will wear it as a badge of honor, because I will tell you, I know I've been in interviews and they said, what's your challenge, or what's, you know, your negative quality? And I would say, I'm a perfectionist, because I'm not knowing how negative that really is. Uh-huh. And so there is just a whole gamut of issues that comes with that. And I'd love to walk my high achievers through it, because I've been there.
That's good. So you're pretty much coming from your own experience and supporting them. Like, we could talk apples to apples at this point.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I'm also able to see things that they may not mention. So I'll say I was talking to a client last week, and I knew there was some things probably going on in her family as far as competition that she probably hadn't mentioned to me, just from a few things that she said. And I said, I want to ask you a question. And I brought it up and she was like, oh my God, we compete all the time. But like, she didn't have to tell me that. You know, I will say I didn't compete with my siblings because I'm the youngest and we have a huge age gap. My middle sister's 10 years older. My oldest sister's 14 years older. They weren't even around. They were gone. But I know what that looks like, because I also hung around high achievers who were perfectionists. So even though I may not have experienced it, once again, birds of a feather flock together. So I know what that looks like with my friends, because I've seen it. So sometimes I'm able to even identify some things that they hadn't put on the table yet.
That's really good. Okay, so I want to talk about the Remix Center. So you've been in the mental health space for years. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to do the Remix Center?
Yeah, so once again, it was just having my clients to tell me that things were different for them and just the results that they were able to experience and the transformations they were able to have. I did feel I may be restricted if I stayed working for someone else. And I thought, you know what? I need to create like this practice where I'm able to do my thing, work how I want to work, and get my results. Because once again, I'm in recovery, but we're even in recovery, you still want results.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Like that never goes away. Mm-hmm. And, but then I also knew I would be able to hire people who were just like me and just have a like-minded team where we're all problem solvers working towards results. And I just wanted to create that space for just to really help people.
Very nice. Okay, so let's get into our highs and lows. First, we're going to start off with a low. Anything that makes you question your path, if it's with the Remix Center, like, should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? Or even with clients, whatever the case may be. Anything that makes you question, am I on the right path? See if this is what I need to be doing. And of course, because you're here today, what made you pivot to get back on the path to say, yes, this is where I need to be?
Yeah. So actually, I will say, definitely with the Remix Center. We work with individuals. We serve 12 to 65. So that's a large group, different generations. And so we also have to keep generational characteristics in consideration because how we work with a 50-year-old is not going to be how we work with a 16-year-old. Two totally different generations, two totally different characteristics, two totally different stages of life and stages of development. So just having that large segment is a challenge. But we, from the beginning, have also worked with companies and organizations. And my low was, am I doing too much? Because I really had to sit back and say, okay, I see people working with just individuals. I see, you know, mental health professionals working with just companies. But can I do both of them? And is this too much? And it was a lot of me in my head trying to figure it out. And I said, you know, I tell my clients to go to get help, to seek help. So I had to do that as well and really get a mentor who was able, who not even mental health mentor, but a mentor who just outside of this space, who was able to say, you know what? It is too much if you do these things. It's not too much if you do this. And so just able to get that guidance that I'm telling my clients to go and get every week.
Indeed. Because you have to kind of separate it from, like you said, the mental space. Somebody that was out of the box, that don't really know what's going on in your day.
Yeah.
To say, hey, outside looking in, this is what I think you should do. I think that's good.
And actually, we're not working together now, but he actually, so first of all, it was a male. I went to someone totally different from me. And he was also in the cosmetic space because to me, cosmetics, there's so much. You have cleansers and all the things and then makeup. And so I thought, you know what? I bet L'Oreal had the same issue. This too much. And so that definitely was my low of questioning myself, questioning my services, and just trying to navigate that and figure that out while also being a new entrepreneur. All of that is super stressful. And so I knew I had to get some help with that.
That is very nice. So it was strategic for you to find someone that mirrored what your day-to-day activities were. It wasn't the exact same day-to-day activities, but it mirrored it.
Yes.
Very strategic. I see what you did there. Okay, so on the opposite side of the spectrum, let's talk about some highs. What is something that we could celebrate with you today?
Yes. So one of the things with my mentor that we talked about was really niching down. And he's like, hey, you have tons of experience in the education space. Have you thought about providing workshops for teachers, for parents, just in the schools? And so I thought, you know what? Look at you being a problem solver when I couldn't. And so one service that we've added this year for 2025 is to actually get into the schools to become providers for staff development, for parent education. And we have been approved for four districts at this point. So we've been approved for Fort Worth ISD, for Arlington ISD, New York City Public Schools, and then also Region 1, which is all of South Texas. So I'm really excited to get ready to reach out to these principals, let them know we are here, we can help, we can assist, and just work with their teachers. As a former educator, education is the number one stressed field. So they are the most stressed professionals, and we're just excited to be able to help them.
I love that so much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Okay, so I do want to ask you, and this is for me too.
Okay.
What did that process look like for you to start reaching? Yeah, like how did you put yourself out there, meeting and greeting and seeing who was going to take the curriculum, the workshop? What did that look like?
Listen, it has been a whole exploration, which is why I'm calling it a celebration. Mm-hmm. So to work in schools, you don't just pick up the phone and say, hey, I want to come in. You actually have to submit a proposal. The proposal has lots of components to it. They vet you. They even look at your financials. Like, should we pay you? Is this because it's taxpayer money? So they want to know, is your company a good investment for us, or is your company on its last leg and we're spending these taxpayers' money on you? So it is a process, and you submit these proposals with all your information and you wait until you hear back from them to say yes or no. And that has been a process this year. So as excited as we are, it definitely was not an easy road because yeah, you don't just pick up the phone. Now I can pick up the phone, and that's what I'm excited about. Because now,
because you're in. No,
yeah, I'm on the list now. Right. So I have the freedom to pick up the phone and say, hey, this is how I can help and support your staff and your parents and leaders. So we also have components for leaders in the buildings as well. We don't want to leave anyone out. But yeah, it's definitely a process to get on that list.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very nice. Okay, so let's get into our One for You advice. And it's something to help out today, something that they can take that's very actionable. Because like you mentioned, you're a problem solver. Because a lot of times we pay a lot of money to go to webinars, seminars, etc., and it goes right over our heads. And we're sitting there like, what did I learn? Nothing. So what is a word, a statement, something that's very actionable that we can take today and get started?
I would say, and I used this before I started my practice. So I started my practice in 2024, actually. But 2023, I took an entire year to work on mindset. So before I took any entrepreneur classes, before I started the business, before I filed the paperwork, I worked on mindset. Because if you're not ready, you get to that program that you paid for, you get to that class you paid for, and you say, why am I here? What am I doing? What did they just talk about for the last 6 hours? You have no idea. So it absolutely starts with mindset. Just like with I do consultations for my clients, and if they come and they're not ready, I'll be honest, I don't work with them, because to get progress, to see results, you have to be ready. So in our, even with consultations, I'll let them know, you know what, you are ready, let's go. And if not, I'll say, hey, I want you to really go do some mindset, because I don't want you wasting your time and your resources when you're not going to probably see the progress because you're not there yet. And sometimes that can be a tough conversation, because it's hard to hear that you think you're ready for change and you're not. So my free thing, definitely, you know, listen to the podcast about mindset, listen to the podcast about change. People do have workshops. I attended quite a few workshops on change and mindset, and I just made sure that I was ready before I dived in. So I'm big on analogies. And so I know with everything going on, the tragedy in the Hill Country, I was really trying to figure out like what really happened with these floods. And what I found out is that it's been so hot and the ground was so dry that when the waters came, it didn't absorb. It brushed over them. And I feel like that happens to us. If we're not ready to absorb this new information, this new change, it rushes over us. So like you said, it's not uncommon to sit in that class and try to figure out what just happened because we weren't ready for it. So until we're sponge-like, don't make any changes, don't make any new moves, be ready first.
Very nice. That was really good. No, you're going to get me to get my mindset right about some things. That is, because I think you can do that with each new chapter. Like, you know, you're pivoting to something new, mm-hmm. or there's a new opportunity, a partnership, anything like that. It's like, sit back, get your mindset right. Mm-hmm. So when you go in, you're more prepared on what can happen or what may happen. Mm-hmm. So that's written. Okay, Miss Adley. All right. So how can people stay up to date with all things that you have going on? Social media, website, newsletter, et cetera.
Yes. So we have our website is www.theremixcenter.com. And it is general information about our services and what we do. We do have social media. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. We're on TikTok, but I will admit, sometimes it falters a little bit, but we're on there as well. And on our website, all of our links, we're Ask the Remix Center on all of our social media handles. But if you need the link, they can actually go to our website and there's all of our links for our social media are there. So we would love for you all to join us and follow us. So, you know, subscribe and like and comment. I get a lot of feedback like, oh, we really love what you're doing because we post tips, we post inspiration, we post information. And so I get a lot of text saying this was good, but we don't get a lot of engagement. And so we definitely would love for you all to like, follow, share, but engage as well. But our website, once again, www.theremixcenter.com, and all of our social media handles are there, but we're Ask the Remix Center on all platforms.
Sounds amazing. We'll make sure to have the links within the show notes so you guys can just click and engage. Yes. Okay. Y'all got y'all directions for the day. All right. So lastly, we have our motivational moment. With our motivational moment, it could be a Bible verse. It could be a quote. Anything that I've seen or read or heard that I thought was amazing to bring on the show. I share my thoughts. You share your thoughts and it's a wrap.
Okay.
All right. So today it is a Bible verse. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And this is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And I'm going to say it one more time. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so when this was the verse for today, it really had me thinking about my own journey when it comes to my anxiety, to my grief, to all the things. And it's like, God literally said for us to just lean on him and we will be okay. But I feel like a lot of times I'm just moving and grooving and just trying to work things out myself versus allowing that space for me to just be in that safe space with God to say, can you handle this for me? Because I'm about to pass out at this point. My body's aching. I got headaches. My chest is burning. Lord. And so before I became an entrepreneur, I didn't have any of these problems because it was really like a safety net. I knew I need to go to work. I had that safety net of when I was going to get paid every 2 weeks. But now since I have that drive of being an entrepreneur, and really if I don't work, I don't eat, the anxiety has come in. But at the same time, I have to remind myself that God will not give me too much that I cannot handle. And so when things feel like it's too much and I know I need to rest, I had to take that time and talk to God, journal, pray, find some Bible verses that's going to encourage me, and really just sit down and rest and not do anything. People laugh at me all the time. I'm a big nap person. I will take a nap.
Yes. Ooh. Nap.
If I was at home, I would take me a nap before my next call at 2:00. But I'm like, okay, we got to get ourselves together. We're not at home. But I am a big person on taking naps. And everybody was like, well, Brie, you might as well go ahead and get used to it because when you have your kids, you're not going to get no rest. I don't know who told y'all that. I'm going to have me a partner and he is going to help and support me to where I can go take me a nap. He is going to take them kids outside. And I am going to go in this room and I'm going to take me a nap. And I'm going to put that in the air and the atmosphere from my mouth to God's ears. Because I need my naps. But anyway, when it comes to this scripture, it really provides like a reminder that we need to rest, that we need to lean on God with everything that we feel like we are a burden to or a burden to us. We just need to bring it to Him to say, how can we take care of this? What's the solution? Because He will provide it. That's through somebody. We get signs. I get a lot of downloads when I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
If I'm driving, those different ways. So if you ask Him, He will let you know. So how about you?
Yes. So I love that. One of the services we provide, we do ask our clients if they want Christian counseling, because all of us have also worked at a church counseling center previously. And so we do ask, of course, clients, some don't, you know, that's not a choice of them, and that's fine, totally fine. But if that is something they want, we do provide that. And that is one of the scriptures that I will pull out a lot with my high achievers and my entrepreneurs, because it hits differently. That rest is different.
Yes, it does.
And so I love it because that scripture gives us permission. Sometimes we feel like, oh no, I don't have time, or my to-do list is so long, or I have so much to do, or once again, what are my results going to be? How do I get these deliverables done? But I feel like that scripture is like, hey, listen, this is not what we're doing. I'm telling you, it is okay. I am giving you permission to rest. So a lot of times we have the permission and we're not using it, or we don't know how to just get our mind, once again, to be ready, right? To actually take that time to sit and rest, which kind of why you ask at the beginning, I make sure I unplug hopefully 30, but at least 15 every day, because I'm learning to make sure I get my rest spiritually as well. And I'm working on sleep. So that's my next goal. That's my personal goal, is sleep. I've always been a night owl. I'm terrible. And so, but I'm telling my clients to go to sleep. So I got to start working on that for myself.
I love that. All right. So is there any last words? Is there anything you feel like I missed today?
No, I have loved this conversation. Thank you for the invitation. Once again, thank you for focusing on wellness this season. It is not only timely, but necessary. And I just want to encourage, you know, everyone listening to seek help. And that could be any way. I know, of course, there's therapy. Some choose, you know, to do coaching. Some choose to, you know, really amp up their prayer and spiritual life. But whatever that is, just make sure that you're better tomorrow than you are today, and be patient with yourself on that journey. But we all have room to grow. And so I just hope that your clients are ready to grow. And if they're not ready, because sometimes we have to get that mindset together, just start working on that mindset to get ready for growth.
Beautiful. But I am so thankful for you, Miss Natalie. You have gave so many tips and tricks and resources for the people. And so if you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of What's Good Podcast. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Siobhan. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.